Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday, May 24th, 2019. It is, as of noon yesterday, for most people mentally, anyway, Memorial Day weekend here in the U.S. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have two very special guests, because neither of them have been on the show with me before. First, we have Lisa Hamilton. Hi, Lisa.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good.
Really looking forward to the weekend, I bet.
Absolutely.
We've conquered yet another week. Also with us today, I have Dr. Mac himself, Bob Levitis. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Kelly.
I'm so glad you're here. Lisa, I actually wanted to start by talking to you a little bit. You wrote an article for Mac Observer about a setup call for your Apple Watch.
Yeah.
And the first thing I wanted to ask you about was you upgraded to a Series 4.
Mm-hmm.
From which was your original model?
The original one. I don't think it was even called version one. It was like the very, very original one.
Yes. To make mine feel better, I called it the OG Apple Watch.
Yep.
I didn't know what else to do with it because I'm like, it's so sad. And if I don't charge it at lunchtime, it doesn't make it through the day anymore. So I upgraded to Series 4 as well. So I know what a big difference it made, at least for me. Was it huge for you?
It was huge. My original was, the battery was, like you said, not lasting through the day. And then one day, all of a sudden, the face popped off and the battery had exploded, or not exploded, but expanded.
Swelled.
And that was
swelled,
that.
Right?
Swelled.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Time for the new one. Thankfully, Mother's Day was right there and we slipped it in.
Excellent. So which one do you have?
I just have the regular stainless with a nice Velcro-y sports band, and I'm loving it.
I do love that sport band. So after you got the watch, you got an email that said you can get a call from an Apple Genius to talk you through your new treats.
Yeah, and I kind of filed it in the back of my life thinking, hey, I've been wearing a watch for, 4 years now or whatever. What would I need that for? And I don't know why I didn't throw it away right away, but I didn't. And a few days later, I was traveling in a city and using my watch and started thinking, I wonder how I calibrate this new watch. I didn't do that. And I wonder how I do this. And what's this new feature? And remembered that email and went to set up a call.
Excellent. So I assume you go through some sort of scheduling and tell them when you're available and you go pick your time. And then you get this phone call.
Yep. And it's awesome. They email you a confirmation of your time, and it's got a link to a web page in there. And when you go to the web page, a chart starts up, and there's pictures, and it shows you this chat screen to start and tells you your guy will be right there. And then once he came online, he called me and said, are you ready? And all of a sudden I had pictures and visuals of his watch and his phone to walk me through things. It's pretty awesome.
Very cool. So did you get calibrated for your steps? I think it was the steps that was your initial.
It was. And I actually found out that I don't need to calibrate because I had pulled over all my data from my first watch. And they said that once you do that, it's kind of a constant thing. So he told me if I wanted to do a 20-minute outdoor walk, that would recalibrate again. But he said that, being that I had been using the watch for so long, that it was kind of a constant thing. And so I should be all set.
Excellent. Now, you also mentioned that you did learn a couple of things that you didn't know about before. And one of them was one that I knew about and just hadn't bothered with. And as soon as I finished reading your article, I switched it immediately. And that was the apps.
Yep. Hated those stupid bubbles.
That honeycomb,
right?
I think is what they call it or something. And like, even rearranging them, like, I tried that and that didn't help either. And so
just a pain. You can never find what you're looking for. And
they're magnetic and they bounce away from each other. It's horrible.
And even if you can find it, good luck tapping
interface.
On it.
Yeah, really, who designed that interface?
Yeah, so now I very happily use a nice alphabetized list, and it's all good.
It's really nice. So now when you press the crown, when it takes you to the app view, instead of having all those little bubbles, then you have this nice little alphabetized list you can choose from.
You got it. Yep.
And that is, and where do you set that option? I'm just going to give this tip away for free.
Let's see. It was back in, I'm trying to remember how I did it. I did it from the watch, and I think I just clicked the crown and did a hard push from the honeycomb screen, and it brings up a menu that says either grid view or list view, and you
yes.
can just click it right there, and it switches it over.
That's what it is.
Yes, and then, I confirmed that.
I just did it too.
But mine's been in list view for as long as I've known about it, because, God, that honeycomb is stupid.
It's hard. Like, yeah. It looks super useful, and then the problem with it is that you can't tap on anything because it's just a little too small. I mean, even for me. And
my
have
fingers are just a little too fat.
Yeah, I have teeny little hands, and I'm still like only about 50-50 on actually being able to tap on one. So having the list was a very, very nice thing. So, and you said, Lisa, that they do this, they say they do this for all Apple products.
Yeah, and I actually, somebody had commented on my article and said they hadn't seen an email for their, I think they had bought a new iPad or something. So I actually did some research. I got in touch with Apple support and asked them, you know, who's entitled to these setup calls? And they said anybody who buys an Apple product should be. And they said if you don't get the email, you can contact Apple support and they will walk you through the process of getting set up with it.
But, nice.
The 30 minutes went by so fast. It was super valuable. I really enjoyed it. Even just little things like the bottom, the big flat button, I never really used. And now I've got that set up with my 10 most recent apps, and I use it all the time.
So that's the side button next to the crown.
Yep, the okay. big flat one.
You yeah. said on the bottom, and I wear my watch the other way on my other arm. So I was like,
got it.
What yep, button on
the
bottom?
Right under the crown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, mine's on the top.
Yes.
Because Dave made me switch my watch to the crown on the left.
Yeah, I haven't given in to Dave yet, but he's tried.
Well, you have more practice resisting him than most of us do, so there's that. So let's talk a little bit about Apple Watch in general then, because I'm going to ask this of both of you. I use the infographic face with... like as many complications as possible. I like my 40 millimeters to be a fire hose of information at all times. So yep. I have the weather, I have a timer, I have the workout button. I have a button for getting a hold of Mr. Kelly, and I have my rings up in one corner, and I have my battery in there and walkie talkie. So, I have many, many things happening on my screen all the time. It makes me really, really happy that I can do that. And like the only thing I don't like about it is that I don't have enough complications on the face. And I actually am saying that sincerely.
Yes, I want more. I want four more.
So Bob, what
everything I need.
Bob, what face do you have on yours right now?
Well, here's the thing. I switch back and forth between two. Usually I have just the rings because that's what I need to see most times.
Yes.
But with a quick swipe to the left, I can get to my whatever they call that multifunction one with 12 complications.
The infographic face. Yeah,
that's my usual face if I'm not like if I'm doing anything except thinking about how much more exercise I need to close my rings. So I switch back and forth between those two faces all day long. And the third face I use a lot is Mickey Mouse.
Oh, yeah.
Because he goes so well with my Spidel Twist-O-Flex watch band.
Perfect.
Excellent. Lisa, what's your go-to?
So I actually used to be like you, and I used to keep all kinds of stuff on there. But now that I'm using the flat button to get to my apps, I find that I'm using pretty faces. I'm using flowers right now are on there, which are kind of cool. They bloom every time I raise my wrist, and it switches out with different flowers.
Oh, nice.
And I just have all my complications that I use the most. My activity, my weather, all that kind of stuff is easily accessible from that big flat button. And So now I get to use pretty watch faces and access my other stuff from the button.
That's fantastic.
You just coaxed me into using one of those pretty faces. I'm now using the vapor face, and it's really pretty.
Yeah, but there's like a liquid metal one.
Yeah,
there's
eight too cool few stuff. Complications, though.
Maybe. Yeah.
I want to design my own, because I would have a face with no hands and 16 complications in a grid.
I just want, like, it's funny, because now that I've had an Apple Watch for a long time, the smallest thing I want from it generally is the time.
Yeah, it's
true. Pick up my arm to look at the weather, to set a timer, to, like, what was that text message that just buzzed my wrist? Or, you know, what's my next appointment or something like that? Because I have the calendar complication on as many faces as I can, because generally that's what I'm looking for. So for me, like, the time shouldn't, and I know this sounds weird, but the time shouldn't be the thing that takes up the most space. Because that's not usually the thing that I want out of my arm. Like, more than 50% of the time when I pick up my arm to look at my watch, it's not so I can find out what time it is.
So I find myself picking up my phone to check the time when I'm wearing a watch. I don't know why. It's a weird habit.
I don't think it's a weird habit at all. It was a habit you got into before Apple made watches. And so that's the habit that you still have. Muscle memory is hard to shake. I'm totally with you on that one. So I'm super excited to find out about the call, and that if you didn't get an email, that you can contact Apple support and you can walk through getting this done. And I liked the piece that you talked about where, you could see his screen, you could see his watch, you know, that kind of stuff to actually show what's going on instead of just having somebody on the phone describing to you.
Yeah. Super helpful being able to, for me, you know, as a visual learner, it was certainly a huge help to not just listen to what he was saying, but be able to see him do it right there on my screen.
Mm-hmm. It's really nice. And it sounds really helpful, because also, you know, it's much easier to follow along if you're trying to do something. You know, you can just look at your screen and see if you're in the right place or not. You know, when you're trying to do the same thing, that makes it a lot easier to track. So,
and they make it so easy. Like, I am not a geek, and all I did was click a link and everything came up and they told me what to do. So there was no technical aspects of it that were like overwhelming or anything, which was nice.
Yeah. And like, yeah, not having a high technical barrier to get in on this phone call also is really nice. So that's fantastic. Bob, I wanted to talk to you about, you have a second article up today, which is the second of two, about the magic of the Cricket machine.
I like to call it the thrilling conclusion.
I'm sure it's thrilling, because you totally got my attention with the first one, because I'm a crafty person and I really enjoy crafty things, and crafty things that hook up to my computer are even happier crafty things. And this sort of scratches that itch, and you came across it. I think you said you went to Michael's and there were like two aisles of stuff you didn't recognize.
Yes. All of a sudden, it was like this invasion. Part of the store was taken over by these machines and the materials that you use with them.
Yes.
And I had no inkling. I had never heard of a Cricket machine. I'd never heard of a cutting machine. And I understand they've been around for a long time. There's another brand called, I think, Silhouette. I never even knew any of this. This craft people are laughing at me, but you know, I don't go to Michael's that often.
Yes, here's me now. So, I'm laughing at you. I'm a crafty person. I'm laughing at you. So, no, but like, yeah, the invasion was swift and merciless. Yes.
Yes. And now they're the largest Cricket place in the world, so they say. But anyway, I saw this machine, and just for our listeners who don't know what a Cricket machine is, it's a smart cutting machine. Basically design things on your Mac or your iOS device and then send them to this machine, which cuts them with knives or blades or rolling blades. It has interchangeable blades for different materials, and it's very accurate and fairly quick with most materials, not so much with wood, but if you read last week's article, you understand that I got it for wood and it didn't do what I wanted. But it does so much more with other materials that I don't even care that it doesn't do what I want with wood anymore. It's way too much fun doing vinyl and t-shirts and glass and, oh man, signs. I've made so much stuff. The article that comes out today has pictures of a bunch of things I made, and that's just really a fraction. I didn't take pictures of a lot of the stuff I made. I gave it away. You know? Mm-hmm. I like to make things and give them away. Mm-hmm. I'm learning. I take pictures now. But the first like the first 3 months, I just kept making things and giving them away and not getting a picture. Mm-hmm. Dave has a couple of my things that I didn't get pictures of. And in fact, I almost called him and said, Dave, will you send me a picture of that thing for my article? But I have plenty of pictures. And if Brian has pulled the trigger, you'll be able to see them at Mac Observer today.
Yeah, it might go up as we're recording. Otherwise, it'll be really close to this. So by the time the show is out, you probably will be able to read it. The interesting thing about this is that, like I said, it will hook to your computer in a way.
Oh, yeah. No, it really does. It's a USB or Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. And depending on, you know, how close you are and how fast you want it to, I don't know that it makes that much difference because I printed a few things or cut a few things from my iPad. Mm-hmm. iPad's really great for like making signage because you can type fine. You can move things around fine. It's not like you need a stylus or a mouse or a multi-windowed environment or anything like that. You can type a few words and send them to the Cricut machine and have a sign cut in minutes. So I used the iPad for that, and I don't think it was any slower than USB from the computer. So yeah,
that's great.
Can pretty much design anywhere. Oh, and their software is all cloud/web-based. Mm-hmm. So if you design something on your iPad and then go to your computer, it's there. You know, you just go to their whole app runs as a software as a service in a web browser. So you just kind of go log into your account and all whatever you did on your iPad is there for you to do with your Mac or finish on your Mac or.
So that's super great.
And, yeah, you can go out and, you know, fine tune something while you're running around. Mm-hmm. And then when you get back, just press the button and it flies over to the machine via Bluetooth.
Well, and pretty cool. The web-based part of it is really nice because it used to be that for a lot of things, there would be no Mac option. So it was, you know, running a virtual machine or having a Windows machine just so you could run that particular, you know, like most stuff. I have to have this Windows application in order to do anything. So I need to, you know, I need to make some sort of allowance for that as opposed to be able to just do it on the computer that you have. So that's really nice as far as the Cricut stuff. Now, Lisa, I know you have limited Cricut experience.
Yep, my daughter had one. She used to be crazy with her paper planners, and she would make stickers for it and colored banners and all kinds of things to decorate her planner with. All color coordinated, of course.
Oh, yeah. I'm in awe of that level of organization. I really am. I was saying earlier that like just getting everything in one place, whether that's in my calendar, on my phone, or down on a piece of paper, just doing all of that is like a victory enough for me. So, you know, by the time I, like adding stickers to it just feels like a level up that I will never achieve.
Yeah, I don't care what it looks like as long as I don't forget about it.
Exactly. That's basically where I'm at is like as long as I can get that far, I win. Like, yeah, being able to add stickers to it sounds super fantastic.
And, well, you know, you have to have birthday cakes on birthdays and Christmas trees on Christmas. And, yep.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
I didn't even think about stickers either until you had mentioned like stickers for a planner. I'm like, oh, no.
Yep.
Like I both do and do not need to know that you could get like, sticker paper in a Cricut machine.
Oh, yeah.
Because that sounds amazing.
Oh, yeah. And heat transfer material so you can make great t-shirts because it cuts the parts out rather than having you iron a 12x12 piece of plastic onto the front of a t-shirt, always looks fake.
Mm-hmm.
No, it looks like silkscreen because it cuts out the parts you're not going to actually, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah, really cool.
Yeah.
And they've got a thing called print and cut so that you can actually print on that kind of material and then cut it.
Nice.
Yeah. Very Ooh. Nice.
Yeah. This does sound pretty nifty. So
and leather, balsa wood, cloth. I made a little eyeglass holder. I mean, I was just trying to be crafty with some of the material they sent me. But I did that. I made a wooden box for my wife for Valentine's Day, an octagon with a little pendant in it. I made the jewel box, and I wanted to line it with a green felt, and I was trying for a whole day to cut it with a knife and get the pieces just so, mm-hmm. and it was horrible. And then I thought, you know, this felt probably would work in the Cricut machine. So I designed the pattern I needed, which were little rectangles, 4 by 4 inches, mm-hmm. And cut them on the Cricut machine. They came out perfect.
Nice.
So I just went and glued them down, and they were exactly the right, you know, height, width, and everything else. Yeah.
Then that's super great. I discovered
self-adhesive felt, even better.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
So it worked out great, and it was, you know, one of these things. I had no idea the Cricut machine was going to be good for that. The other thing that really blew me away was etching glass. You don't even think about, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's a machine that cuts things that are flat. How's it going to etch glass?
Uh-huh.
Well, it does. What you do is you cut vinyl and apply the vinyl to the glass. Then you spread this material on it called etch something.
Yeah.
Hold on. It's
I know what you mean. They sell it in jars at Michael's.
Yes, they do. It's
it's usually not in the same aisle as the Cricut machine, but they have it. It's a few aisles away in the Woodcraft etch. Projects.
It's called Armor Etch. It's $10 and up at Amazon or Michael's, and it's very caustic. Read the directions. You don't want to be playing with it without gloves and maybe a face mask or good ventilation.
Yeah.
But it's like 5 minutes. You cut a stencil. You put the stencil on the glass. You rub this cream on with your gloves. You count to, what's 5 times 6? 300. Count to 300. And then you rinse it off, and you've got etched glass. Frosted, beautiful etched glass. Examples in the examples in the column.
That sounds amazing. I'm
I say
forward to
it's
that.
Simple and easy, and the results are amazing. Those are my words in the article.
I'm excited, and I'm also excited to. So are you going to write a book about the Cricut then?
I was just thinking that.
I don't know. You know, I was thinking I'm going to pitch them to send me on tour as an evangelist. Instead of writing a book, I want to go do a tour of Michael's stores.
That would be amazing.
Cool. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be awesome.
Yes.
So when I talked to them, I didn't want to talk to them because after the first part, I thought, they're probably not that happy with me because I said I got it to cut wood and it didn't really cut wood the way I wanted it to and blah, blah, blah. So I wanted to wait for this column, part two, to hit before I hit them up for that. I think they're going to like me after part two because I basically said this is the most fun I've had with a peripheral for as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most unique, different thing I've connected to my Mac in years.
Yeah. I'm excited about it with the new, because for a long time, the software wasn't great. They did have a Mac version recently, like the last iteration of it, I think. There was a Mac version and a Windows version, but nobody really liked it. And so the web software is a lot better. And it's a thing I've been debating getting because it seems like something that would be really nifty. And I keep going, I don't need another hobby. I don't need another hobby. But Bob,
once
you're doing
it. Have it in your office, Kelly, you will be shocked at how many things demand to be cut. It's like I've made so much stuff I never in a million years expected to make because it's there.
Yeah.
You know, I had a great idea for a t-shirt one day that I was wearing it that afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, see, I don't need. Yeah. Having t-shirts at my disposal might be like a great and terrible power at the same time. What's your favorite thing you've made so far? Was it the Valentine's box?
Well, the box I just cut felt for the lining, so it wasn't really a great thing.
Oh, okay.
I think out of everything I made, the t-shirts and the glass blow my mind because they're so professional looking. The signs, too. I did a window sign for my office. You know, I have a glass door. And so I did Bob Dr. McLevitus, writer, auteur, raconteur. And I've always wanted to have that on my door at an office. So I did it, and it was like, oh, that's really easy. And it looks like somebody came and painted it on the door with a stencil, you know, two hours worth of hand painting. There's
that's
a picture
fantastic.
Of that in the article. And there's a picture of the artwork in the Cricut software, so you can kind of see what the interface looks like before you send it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just got a button that says make it. and you click the make it button. You tell it what kind of material is in the Cricut machine and you click go. And that's it.
That sounds pretty great. So go check out Bob's article and sign up for coupons from Michaels. So that when there's a deal.
Get the Michaels app. And when you walk in the store, just open the app and it'll tell you what today's deal is.
Yeah. And you can always check it for
trying to keep track.
Yeah, you can always check it for whatever the recent coupons are as well. So you can find those, and those are pretty handy.
It has a coupon button at the very top.
Oh, yeah.
Just press the coupon button.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I know the coupon button. When it's yarn week, look out. But now apparently I'm going to have another reason to go to Michael's soon, because you're doing a really good job of selling me on buying a new majigger that I need in my life. For a thing.
You yourself called yourself a crafty person. So
I am a very crafty person.
There it is. There you have it.
So that's why it wasn't such a hard sell. But now I'm like, ooh, maybe I do need one of those things. Now, if I could just get Cricut to have a genius available for a half hour phone call once I picked it up and brought it home, then I'd be set.
Just call me, Kelly.
I'll call Bob for my half hour setup call.
Hey. I've been through it.
I know. That's why I'm like, this gets more appealing all the time. Plus, I get to spend another half hour talking to Bob, which would be great. So you're doing more selling all the time.
Like I said, I'm going to be an evangelist for Cricut.
I love that. And I will tell you exactly which store in Portland you need to come to so that I get to hang out with you.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it because I'm sure you can convince them. I want to thank both of you for being here today. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. Lisa, thank you so much for coming by to talk to me about your setup phone call. That was super great.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And I'm really glad that we were able to get that information out there, because that's the thing. Bob was surprised. I was surprised because I don't remember getting that email either. So I'm really glad we were able to get that information out to everyone.
Yeah, hopefully it'll help some people. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. It does seem like something that's going to be pretty cool. And I do want to drop a quick little PSA here. There's right now, there's a promo through Apple Pay through May 29th that if you use Apple Pay at Taco Bell, you can get $1 tacos. I want to make sure everybody knows that. This is your treat for making it to the end of the show. yes. Now
I have a taco tip, too.
Yes.
If you're a T-Mobile subscriber, open the T-Mobile Tuesday app, and all this month, you get a free taco every Tuesday. Just go down to Taco Bell and claim it.
That is actual Taco Tuesday. That's a good reason to open up that app.
Yes, and most people don't even know that there's such a thing, much less that they can open it up and get free stuff. There's also, by the way, a free latte at Dunkin' Donuts if you're into those every week. Yeah.
I'm mad at Dunkin' Donuts.
When's the last time AT&T bought you anything?
Well, I'm mad at Dunkin' Donuts because they say America runs on Dunkin', but there's no Dunkin' Donuts in Oregon or Washington. So they're lying, and that makes me angry. And I will hold that grudge until they fix it. So if you have cool Cricut tips or a cool Cricut pattern that you want to make sure Bob knows about, you can email it to observations@macobserver.com. You can leave a comment in the show notes, or you can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter. Again, thanks, Lisa, for being here. Bob, thanks so much for coming by.
Anytime, Kelly.
And
let's do this more often.
Let's. And again, dollar tacos at Taco Bell if you use Apple Pay. I'm going to point out, I know at least two people for whom this is going to be the thing that is important enough that they're going to set up Apple Pay on their phones for the first time in order to do this, because Taco Bell for a dollar.
That's why they do it.
That's exactly why they do it. So I know at least two people this particular promo is going to work on. So I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. We will be out Monday because it is a holiday, so there will be no show on Monday. I will talk to all of you on Tuesday. Until then, be excellent to each other.